This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 503. I'm Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by our brand new apprentice, Rebecca Melanchon. Did I pronounce that correctly?
That's very close.
Awesome.
Melanchon.
Melanchon. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming this puppy live at koop.org. Remember, it's theater. It's on Offstage and On the Air. Don't go away.
Hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Love starts on a downbeat.
It is Wednesday, February 13th. On the show today, we have Feud, which is Texas Comedies, and also Ground Floor Theater is going to be on a little later, and we're going to talk about Black to Crack. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in New York, in Chicago, in Austin, as well as New Orleans, Louisiana. Stick with us.
Telling you get off your seat.
Okay, I have been away for 3 weeks, so I'm going to test, during the reason why the music played so long is I called Nicole, and I don't know whether she's on the phone or not, so we're just going to bring this volume up and see if she's there. Nicole, are you there?
I'm here.
She's there. Lovely. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So Nicole is joining us via telephone. How you feeling, dirt girl?
Oh my goodness, awful. This flu is... no joke.
I'm
now
sorry.
I have
well,
the bronchitis.
Well, you got the bronchitis. You could do, you know, you could do Bronchitis the Musical.
You know, it'd be hard to sing getting your breath.
No, I think you could do it. I have confidence in you. So you, meet our new apprentice, Rebecca Melanchon. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello. Hi, Nicole.
Hello, Rebecca. Welcome.
Rebecca, welcome to Offstage and On the Air. Tell, since this is your very, very first day here, tell folks a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm the executive director of the Austin Independent Business Alliance. We're a nonprofit that supports and promotes local business. And I'm a big fan of Co-op, and Co-op's been a member for a long time. So we decided to make this arrangement more formal.
Lovely.
And I'm learning.
Lovely. And how often do you go to the theater?
Come
on.
To,
oh, yeah.
Up,
yeah.
Up,
yeah.
Up.
No, you can lie.
Not enough.
You
daily.
Can lie. Not enough. Good answer.
we'll get you going more. We'll get you excited about all those shows and
all right.
find out what's happening in Austin.
That's, I'm ready. I'm
that's
ready.
Right. So, I big, huge thank you to Nicole Shiro. Big, huge thank you to DJ Harris, who really stepped up and worked with us over the past 3 weeks in my absence. And a very, very special thank you to family, Offstage and On the Air family, Tracy Schultz, who at the spur of the moment really just took over and did the whole show last week. So thank you, Tracy Schultz.
Yeah, thank you. Tracy's one of those people who didn't know a lot about theater and now can't get enough.
Can't get enough. So let's introduce the folks that are here with us in the studio. We have John Cecil.
Hello.
Welcome back, John.
Thank you very much. Glad
and
to be here.
Josh Meindertsma.
Hi, hi.
Who, I just
want to
say, when I was typing this up, Josh, I wrote your last name without looking
wow.
at it.
Wow. I'm very impressed.
And
thank
I got
you.
It right.
Yeah, thank you. Not even my friends can do that.
He's
we'll see.
Yeah.
See there. And we have Phil Rodriguez. Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. So there's lots to talk about today that I wasn't able to talk about. Because I was not around. And so there may be some repeats here. And specifically, before we go on, I want to introduce our next guest that just walked into the studio, Mr. Matrix Kilgore. Hi, Matrix.
Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
Any better, Matrix, and I would be twins. He can't hear you. He's not wearing headphones.
Well, tell Matrix the disembodied voice is saying hello.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Nicole.
We have Nicole on the phone lines. So first and foremost, not really a theater person, although his roots are in theater. We lost Albert Finney last week.
Listen, he did the greatest version of Annie on screen, so he is definitely in the theater world, whether he was or not.
Which is why I mentioned him. You know, he was called the new Laurence Olivier for a while. And he was quite well known in English theater, and he decided to really sort of give it up for money and went into film.
Yeah.
Josh is
That's a good film. I mean, he didn't do too bad.
Yeah. Josh is like nodding his head. And the only thing, Josh, if you're going to talk, you got to speak into that thing that looks like a microphone.
Money was important back then.
It still is. So the one thing I want to talk...
Money makes the world go round.
Money does make the world go round. One thing I want to talk about, which Nicole, you talked about 2 weeks ago, but I didn't get to. So let's just listen to this to set it up.
Michael, last week you expressed some anxiety about starring in Skittles commercial, the Broadway musical.
Yes, I have been having some doubts. I mean, I don't really do ads.
Well, it would be stressful to be seen by millions of people on the big game.
No, just to be clear, the ad won't be on the actual game. People will buy tickets and watch it live in a theater.
You have to buy a ticket to see an ad?
Yeah, it's a real Broadway show.
Huh. Fun.
Why is this so confusing to everyone?
Michael, nobody here is judging you. We just think you make terrible career decisions.
Okay, fine. I won't make the Skittles ad. I'll never make an ad again.
Broadway the Rainbow. Taste the rainbow. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com.
So that was Skittles the Musical, which was a musical that happened live at Town Hall near Times Square. Not considered a Broadway house, but may as well be. And it was a Super Bowl ad that was live and people actually had to pay to go see it.
Can we talk about the poet who wrote it? Was Will Eno wrote the thing.
Right. Will Eno wrote it. Michael C. Hall was in it. It had a great thing. So Josh was saying something. Sorry, because they can't hear you talk, so they don't know when you're talking.
Oh, yeah, just the sound. That was Michael C. Hall. It wasn't Nicolas Cage?
That was Michael C. Hall. Okay. And that was actually their promo. It was a video piece of him. And there was stuff that I cut out of it that was quite fun. He had a... There was a... Anyway, it had a scarecrow. But the idea of this musical, and the musical involves the plot. Nicole, did you talk about the plot of the musical when y'all talked about it?
No, we didn't. We just talked about how the musical was called Skittles Commercial, the Broadway musical.
It was indeed. It was a very meta kind of show. It was Michael C. Hall who dies in the middle of it. And mm-hmm. the whole thing was a half hour long. And I don't know... I think ticket prices were not inexpensive.
They ranged from $30 to more than $200 a piece. They ranged all over the map. But all the proceeds went to Broadway Cares Equity Fights Aid.
Oh, that I didn't know. And it doesn't say that. Oddly enough, it does not say that in the ad, the piece that I read about it. But he basically dies. There's some audience members that get up and... I read it today to find out exactly what it is. Now I forgot what it was. But anyway, it does say this in the article. It does Equity Fights AIDS, which is great. That makes me feel better. But some of the songs are Advertising Ruins Everything. And so people that listen to this show know that I made my living doing and what I've been doing when I go out of town. I do what we call industrial theater, and it's shows for business. And there is a movie out right now called Bathtubs Over Broadway, which talks about my business. And when I first got in the business, it was big Broadway-style musicals for these shows, for these business. I did one for Electrolux. I did one for Buick. I've done a whole bunch of different ones, but these are the big book-style musicals. And this was sort of a throwback to that. I don't know. I just thought it was sort of interesting. I wanted to talk about it, so I did.
Well, it was what I didn't know this until afterwards, that they actually set a real working bodega up on the stage and encouraged audience members before the show to go up there, and you could, ironically, buy Skittles. I was laughing so hard. I don't know if you saw any of the advertisements with the cats with Skittle eyes puking rainbows. I laughed so hard. They didn't tape it, and they said it'll never be restaged again.
Nope. Yeah, that's it. It's all over.
That was it. But I laughed really hard at it. The commercial made me laugh. The whole idea of it made me laugh.
Yeah. So the song that we played coming into this was from the band's Visit. Everybody knows that I love... I haven't seen the show, but I love the music for it. And it won the Grammy for the best musical soundtrack.
I know. It was kind of a bittersweet week. It was like they win the Grammy and then announce the closing date for the show.
They do indeed. They're closing, oh my gosh, when is it? It's in here somewhere. But yeah.
I want to say April 12th.
April
7th. There,
April 7th.
They're right closing. Around before Hadestown opens.
April 7th is when they close. So they beat out My Fair Lady, Carousel, Once on This Island, and NBC's Jesus Christ Superstar.
Not surprised.
But anyway, that's good. And you know, I love that. And so here's the other deal that Hugh Jackman won for the Greatest Showman compilation. And so you'll find this interesting. All he's got to win to get an EGOT is an Oscar.
I know. And you know what? I cannot count down until June, until my little hiney is sitting in Houston watching him in his gold lamé pants go up and down the Pastor Bell singing to me.
There you go. So that was Skittles, the musical. That was the Grammys. The other stuff that I wanted to talk about, both you and I, Nicole, get this email, Broadway News Alert, which is an industry newsletter that goes out with stuff. And I was very happy to see a few days ago, did you see this, that the Austin Chronicle, or was it Austin Chronicle?
No, it was the Statesman and Michael Barnes.
It was the Statesman, yeah. And Michael Barnes did a piece on producing. And we have some local folks here that are producers on Broadway. And I'm losing their... I'm just lost
it's
their...
It's Mark and Carolyn Sarris.
Thank you.
Mark is a co-founder of AOL. He also was a big part of sitting on the board at the Long Center. And he does a lot of producing work with Zach. And it was... Michael wrote a beautiful, beautiful story on their first foray into producing with Anastasia on Broadway.
Right.
Which is
playing right now.
Yep, and they're still working on additional shows, and they've found that they've absolutely loved this. You know, so they produce locally and on Broadway, and it was a really beautiful, beautiful story.
Yeah, and there'll be a link to it on our site, offstageonair.com. And they started in Anastasia, and they have a really great story about how they got there. They are also one of the producers that are they're bundlers. So you may have received an email from him asking you to be part of this. But he and his wife, both of them have produced or been on the production team of some 11 Broadway shows right now. Anastasia being their first. And they're also putting money into a new Terrence McNally play. I forgot the name of it.
Fire and Air.
Fire and Air. That's the one. You know everything. They're also quite involved with Zach Theater and the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards.
That was the other. I was like, what's the other thing? Thank you for that. Yeah, it really, it was a beautiful story. It was in the Statesman, I believe, last Wednesday. But you're posting a link, so never mind.
Were they a part of the group that produced Prom?
No, but that we're going to talk about that as well in a second. I don't think they were part. They could have been, but they don't mention that in this article. They've done 11, and there's only two that are mentioned in this article. But I found it very interesting that we here in Austin made some national news, and I feel it's important for me to invite them to Ground Floor Theater someday.
Absolutely, they're really just wonderful people, and this wasn't anything that was ever in their. You know, horizons of, oh, we have to do this. And it all stumbled upon their lap, and it ended up being one of their things they're most proud of, which is so cool.
It came out of a love for theater. They did a Broadway junket where they saw 7 shows. And the producer of, oh my God, what was the show that they went to see?
It's only a play.
Right.
Dave Stakely knew they were going. And so he called the producer and said, let me get you backstage. Yeah.
Exactly. Which is what happened. And the producer is the one that gave him through. Now, Rebecca, are you familiar with Mark and Carolyn?
No, I'm not.
They're business people.
I'm not. I should be.
Well, you should be. Maybe they need to be on the
Austin and AIBA.
AIBA, which is a little airport here.
That's ABIA.
That's ABIA.
Whatever, whatever, whatever.
We like to say we're flying high, but yeah. We're not the airport.
So speaking of the Prom, I want to just reach out and talk about the Prom. So with the Prom, there are some people here locally that are involved with the Prom. One of those producers is Laura Galt, who is one of the producers. And I know Laura. She's done some stuff at the theater, and I've known her, of course, around town for a long time. And a friend of mine that I've known for many, many years contacted me that her son really wants to play drums in the pit, and she put this out on Facebook. Does anybody have any connections with the prom? I reached out to Laura, and they went and saw the prom. Laura was able to get them down into the pit. He met the drummer, and it was like a lifelong dream. And it was just, I feel so great that we were able to do that for them.
That's so cool, Lisa.
Yeah.
Jazz hands. I'm jazz handing through the telephone for you.
Jazz hand me. And here's the other thing that I want to talk about, and we're running out of time, but I saw this article. Did you see this article about Oklahoma? Then they're going to be, I got to find the article so I get the words right, but they're a gun-free, they're fighting guns, basically. So every gun that shows up on stage in Oklahoma, they're going to give money to this nonprofit called Gun Neutral that basically destroys illegal guns. So they're the first. This is done in the film industry, and I'm gonna institute this for Ground Floor Theater as well. So that whenever a gun shows up in our plays, we'll give money to this group that destroys 10 guns. For every one gun that shows up on stage, 10 guns get out of circulation.
Well, we've got about 20 plus a saber.
Good thing you're not. I can't afford to have you in my theater.
But also, some of the guns are wooden guns too.
Wooden guns count?
Yes, a gun is a gun.
Okay.
I believe water guns would count. But I find this very interesting. The program is called Gun Neutral. It's done by an organization called Level Forward. And then Oklahoma, some people are calling it Dirty Oklahoma. That's coming into New York is gonna. Give to this, and they're like, I believe, the first Broadway company that's doing it. I think that we should make this a trend, and we should all start doing this.
I think also if you turn guns into how smoking was glamorized back then too, and now you don't see a lot of smoking in shows like that.
True.
We're smoking
guns. But it's also going to be a part, it is the very first Broadway musical to partner with Gun Neutral. But the show's lead producer, Ava Price, is actually at the Sundance Film Festival and will be on a panel regarding all of this. And the panel's called Sea Change, the Call for Gun Neutral Environment.
It's actually not going to has done. That was last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like a set.
I was in Salt Lake City during Sundance. So that was
sort of,
yes. So that's it. I'm going to stop. We're going to stop talking, I think. Oh, yes. Josh Mein-Dertzma, go.
I did come all the way here for one little fun fact that
Before you say that, I just need to say that offstage and on the air enjoys fun facts. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Well, you might have read that one of my favorite actress of all time, Maggie Smith, is coming back to theater.
To the stage after
12 years of not doing it.
12 years.
What's she doing?
She's going to play Brunhilde Palmsell, which was the personal secretary of Joseph Goebbels. And it's a one-woman play talking about the life experience.
It's one woman. I was like, whoa, you've been off stage for over a decade, and you think, I'll come back and do a one-woman show.
Dame Maggie Smith can do it.
She can do anything.
Yeah, well, we'll look forward to that opening, and we'll talk about it here on Offstage and on the Air. So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back and talk to Matrix Kilgore about Black Do Crack. So the one thing I should say is tomorrow is there's some celebration happening tomorrow, February 14th. Nothing that I care about because, even my dog doesn't love me, but it is Valentine's Day.
Well, but today is Galentine's Day. Where the ladies are supposed to be friends with the other ladies without Valentine. So Lisa, you're my Galentine.
Well, we're all three. You and me and Rebecca, we're Galentine. Well, sorry, you guys.
I will say there's also...
Y'all are out.
No, you can have your Galentine's, but we also have Palentine's. We're just pals.
Yeah.
Manlentine's.
Palentine's.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. So it's Galentine's Day today. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. So all of our songs have stuff to do with what we're doing, but they also talk about love. There is no shortage of love songs on Broadway. So so we heard from the band's visit, and now, we didn't talk about this, but Kiss Me Kate is coming back to Broadway, and Kiss Me Kate is so fraught with some negativity around its mere subject matter, as is... oh my God! I just lost the name. What is it based on?
Taming of the Shrew.
Thank you.
Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah, as is that. So anyway, so this is from Kiss Me Kate. Why can't you behave? And that's what I'd like to say about Matrix Kilgore.
Why can't you behave?
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. Nicole Shiro, are you still there?
I am here. I didn't know if I should hang up or
not. No, you know what? You can join us or you can hang up. Why don't you go take care of yourself?
Okay, I love you all.
Bye-bye.
Take care. We'll see you next week when you're back on here.
I can hear about all these great shows myself.
Okay.
Because you know why? I can stream live at koop.org.
Ooh. Yes, you can. Thank you.
See you later. Take care of your bronchioles.
Bye.
Bye.
So, as I said, you are listening to Offstage and On the Air. It's Lisa Sheps, and we have here in the studio Mr. Matrix Kilgore. How are you, Matrix?
I'm doing wonderful, Lisa Sheps.
It's good to have you on the air again here.
Yes. It's been so long. I feel like I really enjoy coming, and I'm just going to start like showing up. And just
I wish you would. We would really love to have you. So, but you're here to talk about Black Do Crack, correct?
I am.
Tell us about this show.
So Black Do Crack is a one-woman play written by Florinda Bryant, and it's really a examination and an exploration of the mythology of the strong black woman and whether or not it serves the community and the reality that it creates.
Right. So by saying the mythology of the strong black woman, what do you mean?
What I mean is, what I mean by that is the different parts of it. I'm a man, so I'm going to speak as my as close as I can. But how sometimes when trauma comes up or when hard things come up, the mythology of the black strong woman, Florinda and I have discussed so much, is to push through, is to work harder, is to not necessarily take a break and heal and take time for your self-care, to put everybody else in front of you and above you and taking care of them.
So if I'm hearing it correctly, you're saying that although the idea that strong black woman is always strong, always able to sally forth and push forward no matter what, the is not true. And they do, in effect, crack every now and then.
Yeah, every now and then.
And you're sort of living that right now, aren't you?
We definitely are living that right now. Florinda had some deaths in her family that connect to a lot of the content, a lot of the stuff in the play. So we have made the decision to postpone the play for a week to open next week because we felt like it wouldn't be honest and we wouldn't be serving the play if we said, push forward, just work a little bit harder. Let's get this show above your personal care. So we pushed a week so she could go mourn with her family and really take care of herself.
Right. And I just want to sort of throw some insight into it because I happened to be there the night that we discussed all this. And it was just really interesting to talk about, to listen to Florinda and Matrix talk about this thing that Florinda's going through. And she's talking and equating it to the piece and talking about how, you know, sometimes we just can't push forward. And we said, yeah, but this is show business. The show must go on. But then all of us almost in unison said, no.
Yeah.
No, it's not. The show doesn't have to go on. We still need to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And so the decision was not a difficult one to make.
No, and I feel honored to be working at Ground Floor and working with you all as producers that wasn't a question. There was no pushback. It was no, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
So you guys have been working on the show for the past, Florinda's been working on it for a while,
yeah.
But we've actually been rehearsing in earnest for the past 3 or 4 weeks. What are some of the discoveries that you have made? Talk a little bit about also, I guess we should say, you're the director.
Oh, yeah, I'm the director.
How has this process been? I mean, it's, whenever you're dealing in an artistic piece, it's so tied in personally to yourself and your culture. There's just a lot of stuff. Tell us about the process.
There's a lot of stuff. First, one of the big discoveries was that Florinda wasn't writing these characters that were outside of her. At first, that was the big discovery. We were talking about them and those, you know, that one and this woman. And really, it was like, well, really, it's just multiple parts of you, Flo. Like, we have to personalize it and make it with it. And the development of it, you know, every day we blocked out 3 hours to work and rehearse. But some days, the content and what we were working on, we couldn't do it and keep her mentally and physically safe for all 3 hours. So some of those times were, okay, we've done it. This is all we can get done today. And playing with the style of how she creates, this show has a lot of movement in it, and that's not normally something that she writes.
Right.
So so specifically in her work. So it was really fun to work with someone that I have looked up to and admired her work as a person, as an activist, and be able to be in the room and work that closely with her on collaborating this piece.
So what I think is interesting is I've looked at some of the rehearsals and read some of the things that the audience will not necessarily be 100% comfortable at all times during this, but at the same time, it's very joyful and affirming. Correct.
Yeah. I mean, it's the truth, right? We're telling a truth. We are telling Florinda's truth.
Right.
And that truth isn't going to make everyone comfortable. It isn't supposed to be. If it makes you comfortable, we have to have a long conversation after the show, right?
True.
Like, and I think that is really, really what we want this to spark. Not just so you have a reaction and a feeling within the theater, but also take it out of the theater, take it into our gallery, and have this conversation and see, really reflect on what parts do make you uncomfortable. Why is that? What's right. that about?
Yeah, and that's the you know, we delve outside of theater into social justice discussions, because both you and I have that, and Florinda as well. But part of growth and part of learning about how to deal with our fellow human is getting outside your comfort zone and getting uncomfortable and having the difficult conversations.
Yeah.
And I think I'm really proud that we're doing that at Ground Floor Theater and sparking those conversations and making people just a little less comfortable in their seats.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think this play speaks to a certain audience that isn't always in our theater. And
right.
we've made a concerted effort to go to different places to bring a wide, diverse group of audience into the theater so that we can have the conversation and not need to, you know, translate in some
right.
ways and
right.
really speak in an authentic way about the issues that we're dealing with.
But that difficulty, I think, is important to any art. It should make you uncomfortable mm-hmm. once in a while. And if it doesn't, then you're not looking at enough good art, or
right.
you're not experiencing enough right. good things. It should make you squirm
yeah.
a little
this
bit.
Is true.
This is very true. And you know, this year has been, I had a lot of experiences with challenging art, and that, you know, a response I got for another play that we did earlier in the year was that, whoa, that was too real. That was too much.
Right. Talk about that. And I'm losing the name. It's
It's We Are Proud.
Yeah. We Are Proud was amazing. I did not get to see it. I'm really upset because I was in the middle of Fun Home at the time.
Yeah.
But you had told me off that it was the most difficult thing you had ever done.
Yeah. It was the most challenging play I had ever done, with one of the closest ensembles that I ever done. This play talks about creating art. Who gets to create art? It was six people on stage that never left the entire time, and it ended with a racial violence, a lynching, almost in a theatrical way, and people left there in tears, with their sick to their stomach, and our response was, well, we did something.
Yep.
You left
Absolutely.
The theater.
Yeah.
As a changed person, and the play was complex. It took you on a wild journey that you were laughing and then you were heartbroken by the end. And I think that is something that I try to, a common theme that I try to put in all of my work, especially to make it, I want you to be a changed person from when you walk into the theater, when you walk out. Because that's how I think the work that I try to do in the theater isn't just so that we see pretty things on stage, is that also that has an effect on the outside life and the life we live in our community.
Right. Well, I'm going to take a quick detour here for just a second to do our random legal ID, and then we're going to come back and get the details of Black Do Crack. So this is where we just play a legal ID at random. Let's see what it is.
I'm Justin.
From the Angry Inch. And you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
That was the Angry Inch. That was actually a great one to have, because right now at Zach Theater, I believe Hedwig is still playing. So Black Do Crack was scheduled to open tomorrow. When is it now opening?
It will now open next Thursday, the 21st.
The 21st. And when does it play through?
To March 2nd.
March 2nd, and
yes,
where is it
being? Ground Floor Theater.
At Ground Floor Theater.
Led by the illustrious Lisa Schiff.
I'm just one of many, as Matrix Kilgore as well. And where can folks go to get more information?
You can go to the groundfloortheater.org.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you so much for coming. Offstage and on the air, we all send our love to Florinda. Lots of positive and positive love and vibes sending her way, so that hopefully this will be the last of it and she can sail through this wonderful piece and be downhill from there.
Yeah. Thank Great. You. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'm in. More theater. This made me want more theater. Okay.
Hey, come check us out. Yeah.
Excellent. We will be right back. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa Scheps. And Rebecca, I'm going to try to say your name.
Marlon Son.
Marlon Son. We're going to get it. You're here with us for 10 weeks. By the time that 10 weeks is over, I'm probably going to have it. So that was a wonderful thing. Black Do Crack at Ground Floor Theater. I forgot to do the wrap-up at the end. Things are just like a little chaotic here today. We're going to talk a little bit of local news, and then we're going to go on. Also, another announcement at Ground Floor Theater. There is a new event called the Bulb Story Slam. It's a Story Slam event at Ground Floor Theater. The first one is this Monday. It will be a monthly event. Doors open at 7 o'clock with the show at 7:30. This is done in the style of The Moth, and it's looking like it's going to be pretty exciting. It's called the Bulb Story Slam once a month, and our first one is this coming Monday, February 18th. More information, groundfloortheater.org. Broadway Across Austin just announced their next season, which I think is amazing. Rebecca, do you ever go to see any of the Broadway Across Austin stuff? At the Bass Concert Hall?
Not yet.
Anybody? Josh? Cecil? John? Yeah. Anybody? Yeah. Phil?
No, I do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Anastasia, which just started last night?
No, I was going to try to see it in a couple weeks.
No, you can't. You can see it. It's only a week.
Well, then I'm not going to get to see it, but right. I would like to.
Anyway, so they just announced their next season. I think it's a great season. So they started out in September with Les Miserables. Then Jesus Christ Superstar, Dear Evan Hansen, and that's a pretty big deal for us in this market to get Dear Evan Hansen on the first. This is their first go around, so we're starting to get the A-list shows. Wow. Hello Dolly, I'm very excited about Come From Away is going to be here. Aladdin and A Bronx Tale, all next year. And that goes from September 10th, 2019 to May 10th, 2020. And now, are y'all ready for Today in Theater History?
Mm-hmm.
Today?
Today in Theater History.
Don't keep us waiting.
Okay, I'm not.
We've waited a long time.
All right, here it is. 1963, City Center Light Opera revived Leonard Bernstein, Betty Condon, Adolph Green, and Joseph Fields, and Jerome Chardov's Wonderful Town for 16 performances. It featured performers were Gabriel Dell and Kay Ballard, who just passed away a few weeks ago and was a guest on our show. And I totally forgot about this. In 1973, El Grande de Coca-Cola. Josh, what a great reaction you had to that.
Well, I just made my hands bigger.
Well, that's a great reaction. I found that. It ran for over 1,000 performances at the Mercer Arts Center. Ron House is in it. Stars as a nightclub owner whose family possess famous stars to entertain their customers. 1983... anybody remember Doug Henning? He did a show called The Magic Show.
I do.
Yeah, me too. Well, I don't know if you remember him trying to capitalize on that success, and he did a musical called Merlin in 1983. It starred Che Rivera and Nathan Lang, among others. It did not do very well. 1996, Rent, a little show called Rent. Have y'all heard of that one?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody
yeah.
see Rent live? Matrix yeah. said sort of.
He was outside the theater when it was going on. Yeah.
I actually, to be honest, I turned it off after the first half or after the first little while, but then I went back and watched it again. The second half is much better than the first half. And it wasn't live, but that's not their fault, really. Anyway, it opened off Broadway today.
What theater was it?
It was at the New York Theater Workshop. And then it opened, as everybody knows, at the Nederlander Theater, won the Tony for Best Musical, Best Book, Best Score. It also won a Pulitzer, or as I like to call it, a Pulitzer.
A
Hewlett's one.
I call it the normal way. Yep. In 1997, there was a revival of Chekhov's Three Sisters at the Criterion. Listen to this cast. This is what I find great. Amy Irving, Lily Taylor, Janine Triplehorn, Callista Flockhart, Billy Crudup, David Strathairn, Jilly Starrett, Jerry Stiller, and Eric Stoltz.
Wow.
An incredible cast.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. All right. Yeah, I thought
not,
it was
not a bad one in the bunch. Yeah.
Okay.
As far as actors go.
Our last little piece is Betty Buckley returned to the London stage at the Charing Cross Theater in Jerry Herman's Dear World, directed and choreographed by Gillian Lynn. And the choreographer, Gillian Lynn, is also the choreographer from a little show called Cats. Which she was in, that Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh, yeah. Who's that cat?
Yeah, that cat.
Phil was in Cats Out Here.
You were in Cats Out Here?
Rum Tum Tugger in Georgetown a couple years ago.
There you go, Rum Tum Tugger. Nice. Sing something. Memories.
That's the other one. That's the forgotten cat. I wasn't forgotten.
So that is Today in Theater History. We're going to take a little break and come, and we're going to talk to the folks that are doing a feud.
Yeah, and I'll just say that we might make new theater history today.
How's
that?
Well,
we might.
Let's just say we are.
It's a possibility.
Let's just say we are. Let's listen to a little bit of Rent while we take a break.
Seasons of Love.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, joined by a new apprentice, Rebecca Melanson.
I just want to note that I just pushed my first button on the console.
Rebecca pushed her first button.
Ever.
Right here. We're going to have her on the board, and she'll be producing her own stuff before we know it. So we just had a really interesting conversation with Matrix Kilgore about Black Do Crack, opening at Ground Floor Theater on the 21st. And now we're going to switch gears, and we're going to talk to the folks of Texas Comedies. You know what? It would help, John, if I turned your microphone on.
Hello.
Hello. Every time it seems that you come on here, you have a different company name. So we're Texas Comedies now?
We're more Crank Collective than Texas Comedies, but when we go
outside...
You're
back to Crank Collective.
We've been Crank Collective. However, Texas Comedies when we go out of town. So we're touring to four different cities in the next 6 months. And so we just go Texas Comedies. It makes more sense.
Okay, Texas Comedies and your show, The Feud, which is... another musical comedy that's regarding the history of Texas. And I should say that for those of you that are listening and not watching us on our web camera, the young men that are here are all dressed in Western garb. Josh Meindertsma is wearing a union uniform.
Yeah, just the top and the hat.
No, they wore blue jeans. Back then. So let's reintroduce everybody. We have John Cecil. Hi, John.
Hello.
Josh Meindertsma.
Hello.
And Phil Rodriguez.
Howdy.
Better known as Rum Tum Tugger.
Yes. Artist formerly known as Rum Tum Tugger, actually.
So, John, tell us about this show, The Feud.
Well, now Phil is Doughboy Taylor.
Yes.
And that's right. With me here in the Army uniform is Major Sapp.
Sure.
And what happens is this is set in the 1870s in DeWitt County near today's Cuero in a town called Clinton. And it's based on a true feud called the Sutton-Taylor feud. And Doughboy Taylor was one of the baddies. And
He can't be a baddie. He's wearing a union uniform.
No, I'm a baddie.
Oh, you're Doughboy Taylor. Never mind.
Now,
he's a baddie.
The other people, the law enforcement agencies, including Sheriff Helm, they're also kind of bad vigilantes too. What comes into it? Nothing but the U.S. Army, who tries to pacify Texas. Did they succeed? Well, you have to come to the show to find out.
You've said this before.
He practiced all morning, even on the drive over.
So, Josh, you're clearly playing part of law enforcement in this case.
Right, yes. Which is sort of new to me, yeah.
He's never done it.
Never done it, yeah. And this is also my... I didn't do last year's show here, too, so I've... Took a
no,
year
you
off.
Weren't. We have not seen you here on the program for a while.
I had to grow out this whole mutton chops for that year and a half.
He's got mutton chops.
Well, people watching on the video can see that he's got mutton chops. And Phil, you're the bad guy.
I'm the bad guy. I usually play the bad guy, actually, in most of the shows that we've done. I usually die, too. But
are you bad in general as a person?
To find bad, I mean, air quotes, I guess.
he's bad, but he's got a heart of gold.
He's so bad, he's good.
Well, a little later, he'll blame it on his family. You'll see.
Yes.
So the The show deals with an actual feud.
Real feud.
And what is the nature of the feud?
It's one of the worst feuds in U.S. history. Went on for 15 years.
More than the Hatfields and McCoys?
Longer than Hatfields and McCoys. And they shot some army officers in the street. And when there were reprisals, they fired back. And there were escapes from jail. Horrible things happened. But this is a musical comedy. So,
we
have two people die, though, at the end. Yeah, I'm not trying to give it away.
Do you use squibs?
Do we ever?
We use squibs and
we would if Merkins. We knew what they were.
Yeah. That would be a no, maybe. More like caps, actually.
I know what squibs are. I live in Hollywood. I know what squibs are.
Josh, tell the folks what squibs are.
Squibs are little blood packets that go underneath your clothes, and so when you hit, it comes out.
Well, better than that, we've got Foley effects. Yeah. Do you hear our gunshots? We should have brought it.
You should have brought the Foley effects.
And glass breaking.
Glass breaking. Mm-hmm.
I want to see the squibs.
Full on fire.
Are we doing squibs today?
Well, we didn't want to put too much pressure on our stagehands to clean up the squib mess in between scenes, so we don't,
Interestingly enough, squib mess was my sorority name in college.
I don't doubt that.
And we're really splashing out this time because we are breaking glass on people's heads in our barroom brawl.
Good. So I'm hoping you have the breakaway glass, sugar glass.
We do. That's why I said splashing out, because they're expensive.
They are indeed. Now, you're prepared to let us hear, regale us with some of some music here, are you not?
Right. And so we're going to... So you asked about Phil's character, Doughboy Taylor, and if he was bad. Well, I think he's going to blame it on his family, right?
That's right.
Okay. You guys want to lead into that a little bit? Josh, you could help him out with
all right. So this is Josh Mindertsma, Phil Rodriguez, and John Cecil doing a piece from Texas Comedy's production of The Feud.
Well, that's pretty ironic, considering I saved you from that posse.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have.
Oh, yeah? You think I should have just let them, get back then?
Well, I mean, I did deserve it.
You do?
Well, I did kill Helms' partner last month. And I did burn that farmer in his barn, but you know what? You can't blame me. I just blame it on my family.
Yeah, I see. That's what you're going to do. Just blame it on your family.
Who helped me when I fought in school? Beat on the headmaster with a metal tool. Who helped me beat up on his head was my cousin Ed.
Hello.
Thank you, cousin Ed. Who helped me on the day that I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die? Who helped me get away that night was my cousin Dwight. No, my other cousin Dwight. It's my family. It's my family.
That's right.
They'll be at the gallows when I fall. It's my family. It's my family.
That's right.
It's their fault I'm this way after all. Who helped me when I needed bail? Helped me when I needed busting out of jail. Who helped me kill the jailer too? Was my cousin Lou.
Woo!
I thank you, cousin Lou. It's my family. It's my family.
That's right.
They'll be at the gallows when I fall. It's my family. It's my family.
That's right.
It's their fault I'm this way after all. I love them, even though I know that they are flawed. They taught me everything I know about kidnapping and larceny, bribery and forgery, murder, robbery, arson and fraud. Who helped me plan my last attack? Helped me tie them up and shoot them in the back. Who helped me hide the evidence was my Aunt Florence. She's not really my aunt, though. It's my family. My family.
That's right.
When in trouble, they're the ones I call. It's my family. It's my family.
That's right.
They messed me up when I was a kid, though. I blame them for what I did, so it's their fault I'm this way after all.
Okay, how fun is that?
All right.
I always enjoy your music. Now, John, you wrote this, did you not?
That's correct.
Yeah. So, should we expect more songs just like this one in the show? So much fun.
Oh, yes.
Put that microphone up by your mouth. Say that again.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. So what were some of the other songs? Name some of the songs.
Oh, for example, a really good one is Do the Right Thing. Right when they signed the peace treaty, which is true, they signed a peace treaty at the end. The two sides, can you believe it? They signed a peace treaty, didn't last, but they did sign it.
Now, a peace treaty between, this is a feud between peoples, loosely
between families or groups, yeah. The Taylor family and then the Suttons.
Yeah, Taylor's and
there's a song about revenge too.
Oh yeah, of course, revenge is a big theme.
Of course, one would think. And so, who else is in the show that is not here with us today?
Okay,
well, we got Dan Dalbo,
mm-hmm.
Megan Ortiz,
Kara Blay,
Creighton Munch.
Yeah, I always forget that.
Can we leave anybody out? That's four yeah. people.
We got seven. It's a seven-person cast.
And Carl Guthrie, especially.
Oh, yeah, he would be really mad if we missed his.
And so, clearly, here we have guitar. What's the instrumentation, and is it all done live music?
Oh, live music. We've got bass, guitar, trumpet, melodica, French horn in the overture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, now, I know, but some other people may not know exactly what a melodica is.
Okay. Oh. It's got a tube to your mouth, and it sounds like a harmonica, but you got a full keyboard.
Stevie Wonder used it a lot and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of him. I really have. And you're doing this at the Daugherty Arts Center.
That's right. Doing it at Daugherty Arts Center starting tomorrow night.
Valentine's Day.
Feud.
For 2 weeks, correct?
That's right.
But you mentioned earlier that you are taking this on the road.
We're going to take this one on the road to Sherman, Texas and Seguin, Texas in September. Uh-huh. We're doing our show Alamo Aftermath in Columbus in March and Murders in Moon Towers.
Columbus, Ohio?
Columbus,
Texas. Texas. Okay. Yes.
And we're going to Carthage in April.
And so far we've already done Borger, Seguin?
LaGrange. Seguin, yeah.
What type of venues are you playing when you go to these places?
A lot of times they are restored theaters in the downtown.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're like 1920s movie theaters that have converted to theaters, like in Seguin. Sometimes they're just really old spaces like the Casino Hall in LaGrange, which is a huge place.
It was gorgeous,
built in
though.
1860, mm-hmm. 1870.
I know, I remember when it was built.
Yep. Well, it was a big deal. Yeah. And they need theater. They need stuff down there. So it's really cool to be there.
Yeah. Well, that.
Yeah. And also, I was going to say, especially historical Texas theater, too. It's not just something that comes in from out of town. They can actually have a connection to it because it's a part of their town.
It's Texas-y.
So how long has this and will this go on?
It will go on forever.
Just like cats.
There's lots of history.
And we've been doing the traveling bit for about 3 or 4 years now. Mm-hmm. Yep.
With this particular piece?
With various different shows. We have about 6-7 different shows now.
Well, I know, and I believe they've all been on this show.
Of course.
We travel with Prohibition, with Bonnie and Clyde, then it'll be The Feud, and then we're traveling with Alamo Aftermath and Murders and Moon Towers.
Now, Murders and Moon Towers is written about Austin, about a serial killer in Austin, so we're doing it in Carthage, but fortunately they had their own bloody murder at the same time. So tweak it just a little bit.
Tweak it a little bit so it's no longer about moon towers. It's about the Carthage street lights.
Lamp lights.
The first toaster.
The first Carthage toaster, which also, interestingly enough, was my sorority name in college. Well, so that's great. So Daugherty Arts Center for 2 weeks, and then you're going to take it out on the road. When is your first stop? When and where?
For this show, we'll take this to Sherman, Texas, my college town, actually, on June 7th. And then we go to Mason in September, Mason, Texas. So that'll be easier, actually. The overnight ones are longer. They take longer.
Yeah, one would assume.
Yeah.
Well, that is great. Well, we are so happy to have you on the show. We're always happy to have you on the show. I don't know whether y'all can stick around for backstage at Offstage, but we'll be going backstage after the show if you want to talk some more.
All right. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Well, that was John Cecil, Josh Meindertzman, and Phil Rodriguez of Texas Comedy's The Feud, opening February 14th. That's Valentine's Day, which is coincidentally also tomorrow. Plays through the 23rd at the Daugherty Arts Center. For more information, there were several websites. I have texshows.com.
I like that one the best.
Okay. TexShows.com. We will be right back. Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Rebecca. I'm not going to even try your last name for this time because my mind is kind of a blank, civvy nothingness right now.
Give it up. You can
so
just
tell us how your first day here at Offstage and On the Air was.
Wonderful, fascinating, and an edge of terror.
Edge of terror. How? Why so? Am I scary?
You're not scary. That board is scary. I'm scared. I'm scared of boards.
The board is not. This board will be your friend when it's all said and done.
I'm looking forward. Does it bite?
Well, I'm really happy. We have a few more minutes here, so I want to give you the opportunity to tell folks a little bit more about yourself. We know where you work, but tell us about Rebecca. You're from New Orleans.
I'm from New Orleans. I grew up there, so I'm a good Cajun, and as you can tell by my last name, Melançon.
Melançon, which is, you actually gave me a good hint. It's like garçon.
Right.
But melon,
yes.
Son.
There's that little squiggly sedella under the
It's a squiggly sedella, which also was my sorority name in college.
You were popular, right? Was it multiple identities?
How many identities
did you have?
So you grew up in New Orleans. Have you always been a business person?
No. I spent my 20s on a farm in the Ozarks, getting back to the land and back to the nature. In fact, I lived for 8 years without running water.
Oh, my.
And 2 years without electricity. And
double oh my.
Wouldn't change those years for anything. Never want to live without running water again.
Never again. Where did you, what did you farm?
Really just for our family. I married an artist, a potter.
Okay.
And it was the 70s back to the land movement, so we went out there. But,
okay, so you're more of a hippie farmer than an overalls farmer.
I was a hippie farmer.
Okay.
But we did wear overalls. Always.
Well,
always.
I'm doing the capital O overalls.
Yes, okay. But I also spent 28 years in publishing.
Uh-huh.
I owned 3 publications. Sold 2, lost 1, which is not a bad score.
What type of publication?
One was The Good Life, which people in Austin might remember. It was a monthly magazine for 11 years.
Okay.
And we folded in 2009 because the economy crashed in 2008.
Yes, it did.
Took a lot of us out.
Yes, it did.
But been in Austin for 30-something years and was a founding member of AIBA with The Good Life.
Excellent.
It seemed like... we're a nonprofit, and it seemed like if I could help local business, that seemed like a good thing to do. So I did.
Good. So what can we at Offstage and On the Air do to get you to go to see theater more often?
I think you've done it. I think this was it. I'm inspired.
Oh, good. By the end of this, you will be a bona fide theater goer. Well, we are just about out of time, but I did want to remind folks that you can like us on Facebook because we like that. You can tweet us on Twitter. We podcast the show. And it's really important for you to listen to the podcast because that way you get to hear things like Backstage at Offstage, where we learn a little bit more about our guests versus the show that they're doing. And we will have a Backstage at Offstage right now. Will you be able to stick around for that, Rebecca?
I will. I think I'm stuffing envelopes.
You're stuffing envelopes. I can probably get you a 10-minute reprieve from that if you want. Although we did just learn a great deal about you. Matrix, you're going to stick around, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Excellent. So how do you listen to that? You go to our website, offstageonair.com, and you just fill in your name. We send it to you every week, or you can just visit us on iTunes and get it that way. So we are going to go out with the song that you started to hear a little while ago that I played too soon, which is from Jesus Christ Superstar, which, as we mentioned, is... was one of the shows that didn't win the Grammy, and it's keeping with our theme of love. We're going to hear I Don't Know How to Love Him. We'll see you next week, everybody, when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye. Well, the curtain's just come down on Duo the Musical, story of two people that are all alone on stage singing songs to each other. It's a meta show.
Oh, very meta.
Yeah. But the show's come down. We come outside the backstage door. We're back here by the dumpsters. Feet sitting in pools of unnamed liquid here, back here. I don't know what it is, but here we are.
Yeah.
And joining us is Matrix Kilgore.
Hello.
Welcome back, Matrix Kilgore.
It's great to be back.
We love to have you back. So we know all the details of your coming into theater. Tell us something we don't know about you.
Oh, my. What you don't know?
Yeah, what passions have you outside of theater?
Oh, I like politics and equity and social justice. And I love my wife.
All right. Look, so I Love My Wife is a wonderful show. Your wife is Amber.
Yes, she's a dancer.
She's a dancer. You know, a dancer dances.
She does.
So, you know, here I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
You mentioned that you believe in equity,
yes.
And I do as well. A lot of people don't understand exactly what equity means.
Now, the real test.
Yeah. Well, there's a cartoon that explains it really well. So if you get stumbled, I'll tell you about it. But can you explain, folks, what equity is versus equality?
So I think the cartoon that you're talking about is where there's
a
fence.
Yes.
Right?
That's the one.
And everyone is standing on different size boxes so that they can see over the fence. Right? So it's what people need to have a fair opportunity.
Right. So it's not, so if you give every person the same size box,
that would be equality.
Yes, and so everybody's got the same size box, but the short person still doesn't see over the fence.
Yeah.
And the tall person sees way over the fence.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's great. And you do that, you marry that in your love of theater at the same time.
I do. That has kind of been sewn through everything I do, really, in my life. Like, my art is very, it usually has a political leaning to it in some way, and a message, just like all art. I feel like
Did you always feel that way, or did you find yourself to social justice causes through your theater? Were you ever like just up for Neil Simon?
Yes, I did love Neil Simon and all that. I still love those. I just don't feel like our community needs my voice telling those stories right now. There aren't very many people telling the kind of stories that I like to tell, so that is what my art right now is mainly focused on.
I do think, though, that more and more people are... Well, I'm not going to say more and more. I believe there's social justice been to art forever. It's always been there.
All art is political, I think.
Yeah. I'm going to say most. There's some art that's strictly entertainment.
Which is then political as well.
Okay. Point taken. is there a cause or a genre of art that you haven't tackled yet that you want to tackle?
I have not directed a musical.
Ah, you need to do that.
Ever, yeah.
Yeah, and so many musicals now deal with, very, interesting subjects, thought-provoking subjects.
Yeah.
So yeah. that's on your bucket list. Yeah, that's your theatrical bucket list.
It is. And there's some older plays that I want to do, and musicals as well. Like Ain't Supposed to Die a Natural Death.
That is I don't really know that old one.
It's about police brutality and about poverty in the 80s. It's old, but I think I can
By old, you mean it's the 80s?
Yes, late 70s, before I was born.
Oh, okay.
Maybe right. I'll put that.
Yeah, there. All right. Okay, I'll let that slide.
Let that slide.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So directing a musical, is there a musical that you have your sights set on?
No.
I mean,
Ain't Supposed to Die, Natural Death is one of my favorites. It is. Also Working. Mm-hmm. I like that one.
I have not seen it. I know all the music, but one of the things that we want to do at Ground Floor Theater is Scottsboro Boys.
Oh, yes.
Which you can't get the rights to currently.
No.
But that's something that we could have you direct at the theater. We'll say that right here on the air. Scottsboro Boys, you don't need a white girl directing that one.
No, definitely not that one.
So, but that's one that I really wanted to do at the theater. And it's such a, it's Candor and Ebb.
Yeah.
My friend and guest on the show, Larry Hockman, was the orchestrator on the Broadway show.
Oh, I also have a connection to that show the last time they did it. Coleman Jennings was looking at helping produce that.
See if you can contact Coleman and see if we can't get the rights for Ground Floor Theater. Mm-hmm. Haven't been able to do that yet.
On the list.
On the list. So you and Amber, to me, recently got married, but that's 3 years ago now.
2 years.
2 years ago.
Oh my gosh, it's right before Valentine's Day. If I got that wrong, I am in trouble.
You are in big trouble. What are you going to do for Valentine's Day?
Well,
now you're not working, you're not doing a show.
I'm doing a show.
Well, you're going to be rehearsing.
Yeah. We're going to cook and we'll go out somewhere. We can't get a reservation anywhere to our usual places right now, so we have to cook.
All right. Well, cooking is good. Cooking is fun. Keeps the family together.
We do love it.
Have you ever performed with Amber?
No. Actually, oddly enough, Black Do Crack is the first time she has ever collaborated with me. I brought her in to help me with some movement things.
Oh, that's right.
We usually work separately.
Well, and how was that for you?
It was great for me.
Not so much for her?
I mean, I don't know. I'll have to ask her.
Well, I'm sure she
tells me she enjoyed it, but you know.
I worked with a partner before, and when it works really, really well. Fortunately for me, it's always worked, but I do know other people that not so much.
Yeah, and I think I have hired her to be my super, like, I have been her supervisor before mm-hmm. in work. That doesn't work so much. Yeah, no, me being the boss does not work so much. But as collaborators, it was really great. But yeah, no.
Well, cool. And your day job, I'm sure we've talked about this on this program before. Your day job currently is working with Creative Action.
Yes. I'm program director for Out of School Time there.
Yeah. What is Out of School Time?
So Out of School Time is after school and summers, and we use the arts to spark and support the social, emotional, and academic development of young people.
Make the case for, we do it here all the time, why are arts important for our children's education?
I think, well, I'll go soft skills and then I'll move to the hard skills.
Do it.
Soft skills, I think theater teaches you empathy. And arts in general teaches you to look at things from different people's perspectives because you have to take yourself out and project something. Also, it gives your voice power. In art, when you paint a painting, your voice, your vision is valid. There's no excuses, no explanations. You did it, and that's what it is. And I think for our young people, it helps them elevate their voice and ask what could be and really create the world that they want to see.
That's a great way to put it. And the other thing is, and when you put yourself out there, it's taking a very brave step. And if you mm-hmm. wait till later in life to do that, it's a much harder step to take.
And so I feel like a lot of the challenges that we face as a society, part of it would be solved if we had a little more bravery. And I think teaching our young people that to be brave when you see something, stand up for it, elevate your voice, I think is so important. And we do that in a lot of different ways, whether it's them creating new plays, writing new songs, are organizing their own campaign, their own campus to have recycling be a thing. So I really love what I do at Creative Action because we get to have those conversations.
Talk about the hard skills, because that's the stuff that the pragmatic folks out there need mm-hmm. to hear. So what are the hard skills that an arts education gives people?
I think specifically at our Campbell Elementary Arts and Digital Media Studio, we do arts integration with the kids every day. So when I learned math multiplication, I had a minute and I had to write down all of the fours, right? So now the kids aren't, it's not about that. It's about how do you apply it. So they're learning beats, how to make beats and according to time signature.
Oh, okay.
They're making a music video about multiplication in different parts of the English language. They're using Legos to look at arrays in math and social studies and language. And also the critical thinking skills are needed throughout all of that creation. And I always like to say our kindergartners today, we don't know what kind of reality of work environment they're going to go into when they're right. when they're older. So we need to teach them how to be creative, how to think, how to look at a problem, think of multiple solutions and test them out and change it a little bit to be what they think needs to happen. Right.
Not to mention the data bears it out. The test scores are higher. People, you know, long term have more success rates and things like that.
Yeah. And we're also using a tool that is a validated tool to measure social emotional skills and also like life skills right. as well.
Was there anything that in your life that pointed you to using your creativity? It's sort of the same question I asked you before, but for the first 40 years of my life, I called myself an artist and creator, but I wasn't really socially aware, and mm-hmm. I didn't use my art consciously for social justice. But you mm-hmm. seem to always have. Was there a trigger that got you there?
No, I don't. I think I was born into it.
Okay.
Right. I think
you're just born that way.
I was just born that way. But my mom is mixed race. My grandparents married when it was illegal for a black man to marry a white woman. And so I have pictures of my mom going to rallies with Jesse Jackson and all these civil rights leaders. And it's always been part of what I do. And as a black actor, a lot of the times I can't separate my blackness from who I am.
Yeah.
So I am making a political statement with everything I do, and I was very aware of that from a very early age.
Sure, and as a white person, it's the polar opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not forced into being aware of what's going on because I can just walk through the world not worrying.
Yeah.
And that's not the case for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, cool. Well, I'm glad we solved all the social ills that there are to solve here backstage.
You know. You should catch us on stage talking about these things.
We should.
Lisa
absolutely.
And I are really good.
Black do crack.
Yeah.
Definitely. You got to go see that show.
Yep.
We can bark orders on the podcast. So go see it. Florinda does an amazing job. And it's going to be really, really powerful. And I think everybody needs to see it. Not just preaching to the choir. And I'd like to see some people that need to see it.
Yeah. Definitely.
If you know what I mean.
And we're going to have a talk back on the 2nd, March 2nd, a mental health talk back about it related to the issues in the play.
Awesome. Matrix Kilgore, thanks for being back here at Backstage at Offstage.
Thank you.
And thank you for being in my life. I love having you in my life.
I love having you in my life.
Okay, we'll see you later.
All right.
Oh, wait. What was the name of that musical you want to direct?
Working. And Ain't Supposed to Die a Natural Death.
Yeah. Do you hear it? To tell you about loving how. One of those two is playing right now.
Oh, that is lovely.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a good choice of song. We'll see you later.
Nobody could beat me doing what I do. I'd punch out a ticket, slide under the wheel, and right off the bat have it under control. Using one hand to spin her around without backing up. Put her straight in the hole. People ask me how I do it. I tell them that there ain't nothing to it because I'm loving out.